Good morning, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank my co-organizers and my invited speakers for making this workshop possible. And thank you for your interest in blueberries. And let me start with this. We have a professional transformation facility at Michigan State University. So far, we have transformed over 20 plant spaces. You can see here, many of them are horticulture plants. And also, we developed new transformation protocols. You can see here, these 8 plant spaces. It's very important. My research focus are on blueberries and cherries. Sorry, get this closer. So, because they are important crops in Michigan. So today, I'm going to talk about early flowering for fast-track breeding and also the freezing tolerance using a gene previously called GBF, and we named that DDF1, and then mainly there's something new about key domain technology to increase blueberry yield. All these 3 traits actually are related to yield, and all these traits actually are in the top priority for blueberry breeding. This is from a recent survey, you can see blueberry breeding priorities here, right? This is from the survey from 10 states. So we can see here, frost tolerance, winter hardness, these are related to freezing tolerance. And also you can see here, flowering time, yield, ripening time. These are the reasons why we are working on these 3 traits. So this is a summary what we have been doing on blueberries. So as I said, blueberries are very important in Michigan and ranks number 1 in blueberry production in the U.S. And we developed transformation protocols and conducted field trial on transgenic plants. And sorry, go back. And then we developed freezing tolerance blueberry, and you can see there early flowering blueberry in tissue culture, and then the last piece is the most important part, is the key domain technology. Okay, so freezing tolerance blueberry, this project was actually initiated by the USDA lab by Drs. Johnny Rowland and Paulo Schuck, and the thesis behind this project is a GBF pathway in Arabidopsis. What they did, they cloned a gene from blueberry and demonstrated this gene can enhance freezing tolerance in Arabidopsis. So after that, the gene was sent to my lab because we can trace from blueberry. You can see here the system is, this is a legacy. So now is a southern high bush cultivars. The system is very efficient. You see inoculation, regeneration, and we can get many, many issues. So we got about 50 transgenic events. Okay, so preliminary screen by doing freezing tolerance assay in leaves and buds. You can see on here you can see the wild type, and then the CBF is the old name, they are transgenic events. There is, to summarize all this information, it's about 2 to 3 centigrade increase in the freezing tolerance. And by then we saw blueberry CBF is the kind of a blueberry 2 in compared to CBF in Arabidopsis. But after we did RNA-seq analysis in different tissues of transgenic versus non-transgenic, this is what we found very interesting, is this CBF is actually not a CBF. Based on this genetic tree you can see here, it's a DDF1. DDF1 is dwarf and delayed flowering. This is very interesting, right? On the other hand, this gene was not code-inducible. This is different CBF 1 or 2 genes, okay? So this is RNA-seq data. You can see here there's a lot of message there, and here is showing this is code-regulated genes. These genes suggest why overexpression of this gene, it gives freezing tolerance. And of course, in different tissues, the differentially expressed genes are different. So why there is no dwarfing? Because based on our RNA-seq data analysis, we didn't see those in Arabidopsis on rice, there's overexpression of this one, got delta proteins related, I think this is a GA pathway. So this makes sense. It increased freezing tolerance, but it didn't change much about there's no dwarfing, no other trade-off trait associated with that. So the question is, how about this the freezing tolerance in intact plants. So I can show you here, this one plant are transgenic, one plant are non-transgenic. They are frozen plants. This one is transgenic. You can see here, you know, these frozen plants, you bring it back to norm, so you can see there, this is transgenic, this is here, right? There's no question, it's increased freezing tolerance. It doesn't get like yield loss or some other trait associated with that. Before I talk about blueberry flowering, this is a flowering pathway, this is gene network in Arabidopsis. I want to mention here is one is like, see this one, this yellow box, one is FT, it's flowering Lucas T, one is SOC1, that's a suppressor of overexpression of Coxsackie gene 1. These are both important genes in this pathway. So I'm going to talk about, well, these two today. Flowering Lucas T is the first, is the top candidate for flowering. It's also the top candidate to do like a fast track breeding. Okay, and also like this gene can is very, very powerful to reduce Brunel phase. This is why this gene is very, very important. So what we did, we cloned the blueberry FT gene. So basically, we have a good transformation system. This is Aurora, need about 1,000 chilling hours to be able to flower. But when you transfer this gene in Aurora, you can see here, they can flower in in tissue culture. They can flower like this size without any dormancy. So basically, there's no question, it's working. On the other hand, if you look at the transcriptome data, okay, all this information, this is based differentially expressed gene, you put this in the network, there's a lot of information, about 5,000 differentially expressed transcript from 3,000 differentially expressed genes. So is this useful? Yes. For example, you pull this out, this is differentially expressed flower gene in blueberry. So in this way, we can know, okay, overexpression this FT, it can change downstream all these genes. So this is very, very powerful, I mean, for transcriptome analysis of transgenic plants. And then how can we use this for fast-track breeding? So one way is, okay, this is my transgenic Aurora. You get like a donor plant. You make a cross. You get the seeds, then you get seedling kind of flower like this size. Okay? This is one way. The other way, this is transcribed. We have just like demonstrated this last year. You get a transgenic blueberry, grafted like using non-transgenic one. You can promote flowering. This is the way for FT. Okay? So, K-domain. K-domain is called, it's from Madbox gene protein. It usually has MIKC4 domain. One domain is called K-domain, keratin-like domain. This domain is the biggest one. It's in charge of the communication of all the other Madbox genes. So we choose, as I said, we choose this gene, the SOC1. Okay, this is a major integrator in flowering pathway. And there are 117 Madbox genes in Arabidopsis. Many of them are related to flowering. You can see here the major flowering genes. All these are flowering, all in the major flowering pathway, okay? And then, like, this is in blueberry. We did, like, this is a flower bud, now chilled, was chilled. That's one dormancy, chilling requirement. You can see here, these are the Madbox genes after, like, dormancy. They all expressed are increased. That means they are related to flowering, right? So, alignment. So, we get, like, this K domain. This is SOC1 gene. This is alignment and a genetic tree analysis with Arabidopsis genes. They are grouped in these Madbox genes compared with Arabidopsis, right? So, what we did, we cloned the K-domain. This is 35S promoter drives this. So, this is transferred to Aurora. As I mentioned earlier, Aurora, they cannot flower without dormancy, okay? But after you transfer this gene to Aurora, this can flower without dormancy. This is like, it's so obvious. There's not, it's promoted. We did collect some data, like, okay, the flower bud number, the Keen's number. Anyway, you can see that you can see where it matches with the date in these pictures. Okay, so it at that time, it gives us an idea. It can be used to increase the yield. In addition, then we found this. It's very interesting. this is like a K-domain transgenic plants, and this is like a non-transgenic. You can see here, when we grow these plants under high pH, this is the difference. Okay, transgenic, it shows high tolerance to high pH. This is very interesting, because blueberry, we usually grow them in the acid soil, right? This is a very desirable trait. This is associated with the K-domain overexpression. This is a further analysis to confirm this phenotypic change. So, we don't know for sure how this works, but we pull out transcriptomes, all in transgenic, pull it together. This is differentially expressed genes in the leaf tissues from the transgenic plants. So, based on this, these are the main goal terms. I listed here. Definitely, we overexpress this gene, it impacts a lot of the other metabolic genes, and then it's these differentially expressed genes somehow can be used to explain why there's a rampant plant growth like dolphin, as well as the other, like pH, high pH tolerance, the other phenotypic changes. Okay, this was very exciting. So now the question is, we always ask, you have a lot of this information, the phenotypic changes and the transphenotype, and by the end, is there any increase about the yield or not? Okay, for the year one and the year two plants, we saw the fruit production from transgenic plants. There's no full fruit production from non-transgenic plants. Okay, this is third year plants. Okay, this is wild type. This is three transgenic units, and each of these clusters has six plants. This is 6 to 12 plants. This is average. So it's exciting. This, if you do a math, this gives like, okay, this is based on the fruit cluster numbers. It gives like 11-fold increase. We saw, oh, this is great. This, you know, it's hard to believe that. That if you look at the plant looks like this. Okay, this is transgenic. You can see the fruits, fruit clusters, and this is non-transgenic. Okay, so this year, before I came here, so you can see, this is the data collection, the similar data set. Okay, the mean numbers of fruit clusters, wild type, three transgenic events. You can see the increase, the increase like 4 to 5-fold, depending on the different transgenic events. If you look at the plants, these are the plants, okay? So you see a lot of fruit clusters, and there's only a few. This gives us like a solid evidence to see. I can see, look, this strategy works. Meanwhile, we are testing this strategy in corn, in steeple crops. We saw a similar phenotype, so it's very, very exciting for this technology. Although at the molecular level, we haven't tried to figure out how overexpression of this key domain impact the others, and how this can, by the end, just result in like an increase in the yield. Okay, but this is something we are going to continue to investigate this. So, to summarize, there's a lot of information actually. I know that this is the multiple years work. I try to put this in a 15 minutes talk. So, we developed transgenic blueberry. That's an overexpression of a DDF1 gene. This is different from CBF, although we thought it's a CBF. Okay? The interesting thing is this one increases freezing tolerance without resulting like dolphin or the many other like the CBF123. I mean, for anobiopsis, like the trade-off of the yield or something. This is very exciting. So we also generated like a FPO expression plants. These are in Aurora. This is a MSU cultivar. It's a very nice cultivar. I think this one has a high value for breeding. So these materials can be used for for research to do like floral gene studies, or you can just like do fast track breeding. Okay. The K domain, I think it's worth to do a little bit more. It gives us an idea. Okay. We didn't do SARC1 whole gene expression because at the beginning we thought if we overexpress this gene, this key domain is like is in charge of the communication of all the groups of metabolic genes. We just want to know what's the overall impact. So when we saw that early flowering, it gives us some confidence. Yes, there's, we don't have to do this, the four gene individually to test their function. Okay? So with this, as I said, at the very beginning, we have a good transformation facility. If you guys in the future need any of this type of transformation, let me know. Okay? So this work, I would say Dr. Vince Beard, he always supports my work. Okay? The blueberry work actually was initiated by Dr. Roland and Dr. Poloshak. Their CBF construct gave me the opportunity to work on this DDF1 CBI, FT and I5. We call that it's a K-domain I5. Okay? So Aaron and Dr. Xuan Gao, both of them worked on DDF gene, DDF1 gene, and Keisha works on K-domain, and Xiao Juan, she's somewhere here, she worked on FT. So we didn't get a lot of funding for doing this type of thing because it's controversy, but I think we are going to carry on our idea to do something a little bit more. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. We have time for questions.
Yes.
So have you tried different K-domain from different MAD
blockchain?
Do they have the same effect or different effect?
The question is, have we tried different K-domains of the MADBOX genes? The answer is no. We haven't tried the different MADBOX genes. But we tried the key domain from different crops. We are doing the corn key domain in corn crops. So just to demonstrate the yield impact. So it's worked so far. I think it's very promising.
Yeah, we will.
The question is blueberry different genotype.
Yeah,
basically we the cultivated blueberry we use is tetraploid. So in terms of transformation, well, I think there is some variations, but I think it's transformable right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one I say. Yeah, the question is how did I determine the code or freezing tolerance in my transgenic DDF1 plants? So the first test we did use detached leaves and dormant buds using electrolyte leak assay. Okay, and the second one is just we exposed this in I think it's minus 20 centigrade for 20 minutes.